Book of Acts. This is Russ Dizdar. Book of Acts field manual for the end of days, because why? Well, the end of days will be the most spiritually volatile, confrontive, manifesting. Well, obviously, the dark side is going to do all that it can. It's going to lead to the very end. And the reason I want Book of Acts, because to me it's a norm. The subnorm is when there's no power, there's no works. Look at Sardis, the Church of Sardis. Once alive, and it became dead. And the entire thing Jesus dealt with there was getting them to remember what they already have, what they've already received, and to do that, to get back to it. And I think that's part of what the body of Christ needs to do today. Subnormal Christianity is a powerless Christianity, and there's no, and as you'll see in the book of Acts, it's demonstrative. The Word of God, the works of God, the Word of God, the power of God, the Word of God, the signs, miracles even, go hand in hand, and it comes through again, those Spirit-filled growing servants. So I think that all that Jesus showed them, and then the Word of God instructing, and the Great Commission, and then Pentecost, as we've already gone over that. So we're now going to jump into chapter 3 here in a moment. We're on page 45. This is audio 36, and it's just an introduction to chapter 3. I wanted to give an introduction and also encourage you to make sure you read or study through Andrew Murray. You can buy the book, actual book, and have it in your pocket. You can put it in your pocket if you want to. I did that years ago. Andrew Murray's book on healing. Now, I put a link to a free PDF file on the entire book. Now, what's neat about this is Andrew Murray was obviously a deep biblical theologian, Bible. There's no question about that level of him. But he's also one that experienced revival and the power of God. And he's one that in devotional writings connects the Word of God and the power of God into a deep experiential relationship with the Lord. And I think that's a good thing that he does there, because that's how it's supposed to be. Now, the neat thing about Andrew Murray is the issue that this book came, and I think the book also, if you want to read it sometime, they're all small little devotional pocketbooks, but just every chapter packed with the Word, packed with experience. And he wrote Waiting on God, and he wrote Divine Healing, because for 2 years he lost his ability to speak. And he's a speaker. He was well known in missions and, you know, very well known. And he sought the Lord, and then constantly waiting on the Lord, he writes that book. And I think it's a great book for all of us if we're in the midst of difficulties, how to wait on the Lord. But then there's Divine Healing, what occurred. Now, I don't know if you've read it yet, but it's on the website page. It's you can just simply click on it and get it directly from there. And when you do begin to look at it, you got to look at somebody not only from the biblical, you know, obviously given the Word of God, and he'll talk about pardon and healing because of your unbelief is the reason, the primary reasons people don't get healed. Jesus and the doctors, health and salvation by the name of Jesus, not by our own power, which is what we're going to see in the Acts chapter 3. And then you remember when Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And there is a development there. There are those that didn't believe. There's one guy that came and said, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. So the number one reason for no healing showing up was unbelief. And I think there's a kind of stated unbelief in the Western rationalistic kind of, that's, again, subnormal, the Sardis. And I know this because you can go to many churches all over the place. There, on a Sunday gathering, there's no mention of healing, no preparation for healing, no engagement in that. Well, a lot of churches don't even do invitations for anything any longer. So when we're gathering on Sunday, you don't see anybody getting saved, nobody getting healed, nobody getting delivered, nobody getting prayed for, no giftings being used, no emphasis on the immediacy of the presence of the living Savior, or honoring the Holy Spirit, well, then the church becomes very dumbed down, very boring in a real sense too. But when it's completely lit up and becomes the norm, you know what the norm is? Healing, saving, and in the context of saving, healing. That's why I'm encouraging you, even as you get into chapter 3, to really become very well-versed with the Gospel of Mark. First chapter alone, unleashing the call to repentance, salvation has come, the kingdom is here, and then healing directly occurs, and then deliverance directly occurs. And it amazes the people. It blesses the people, obviously. Obviously, over the years, the people that I've seen get directly healed, I mean really directly healed, the way Jesus healed, the immediate healing, just praise, and they go on talking about it later on. But the neat thing about, you know, I can talk about healing in my life. I can talk about healing in my wife. I have a daughter that every time I think about her at times, after 10 years of no babies and us praying for babies, we wanted babies for sure when we got married. And then the doctor did some surgeries and we prayed through that. And there was, then he tells me after, you know, this year, no babies. Well, 5 more years, you know. So a total of 10 years goes by and we're praying and praying. And I talked to my wife and you know what my wife said? God gave her a little picture of a little baby girl's face. And that, somehow, some way, by the hand of God, we would have a baby girl. Now, at a ladies' retreat, a woman praying for her had a word for her and said, by this time next year, you'll be pregnant. Now, let me tell you something. I would, because we lost 2 babies, too, but she was in that context of that word given and her own belief, she was pregnant. And, of course, 9 months later, here comes little baby Charity, our daughter, that we waited 10 years for. Now, I believe this. I absolutely believe God healed her, and she needed that. What the doctors couldn't do, what nobody else could do, what they told me was impossible, we prayed and prayed. See, I believe Psalm 103. I don't know if you've read that. You know, we're not to forget the benefits of God. And I think it's a great thing to read as we get ready to read and dig into, verse by verse, chapter 3 in Acts. Here's Psalm 3. I'm sorry, 103. Psalm 3 is my chapter for this year. But Psalm 103 is what we want to look at. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Psalm 103. I don't know about you, but that's Jesus. That's God in your life. And that's how we respond in, you know, singing to him and blessing him and acknowledging. So the first 2 verses, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, he's just calling from the depths of himself. All that's within me, bless his holy name. And I think when we publicly bless and publicly thank God and in church and places and say, praise God, look what he did. And there's people take notice and to hear what he's done. I can tell you what he's done in my life. I can tell you what he delivered me from, the edge of hell. I'm even writing, there's a book now, well, I got a copy, and there's a book coming out, Once Blind, and it's really me just telling about how God brought me from the very edge of hell and saved me and brought me out of that. Now, I've experienced that God touched me in healing. I've also watched, and I was raised up in Pentecostalism and Baptist and others all around. That's somewhat the norm around, you know, back then anyway. And as you're growing, there's churches that, you know, emphasize things. There's some that are over-emotional, some that are very dead and unemotional, and, you know, all those things can be there. But some of the norms is the immediate presence of the living Savior as we gather. When 2 or 3 gather in my name, there's him in the midst. I think sometimes we gather and it's almost as if an acknowledgement of God from a billion miles away. And that loses the immediacy. We have to come before the throne of grace. He's really here. That's the issue. The Spirit of God's really here. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, for all the days, Hebrews 11 or 13. So when this writer who experienced healing, listen, I'm reading Psalm 103 from 3,000 years ago. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe 2 things. One, the massive, massive disobedient neglect of the healing of Jesus. So much so that some have had, you know, some have gone overboard on the other side and manipulated things, and that's what looks bad. And then we have the counterfeit that Satan's trying to bring. We need to rebuke and reject. And powerful believers will be able to do that. You'll be able to know the difference. But how dare we, as believers, as leaders, cut away from the sin? I mean, this is part of the centrality of the ministry of Jesus. Now, when we think in terms of the ministry of Jesus, and I think Luke's Gospel 4, you've read that. You've read the what occurs here. This description of the ministry of Jesus. Now, I think that's important. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to. Now, again, here's the to preach the gospel, the unleashing of the gospel. We see it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. That's what it's all about. That's first the centrality. But in and with that gospel being poured out, salvation being poured out, comes the ministry of Jesus. Here's what Jesus Himself says. He is referring to the Father sending, being sent. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, I want you to know, this is the, we're to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is now the day of salvation, the day of God's favor. It's not over yet. And so mercy and grace, which means unmerited, to the rotten sinners that we are, to the dark world and crooked world and evil world and sinful, all of that, in that while we were yet sinners, you know that in Romans 5, right, Romans 5, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, the merits of healing is never upon us. It's on Him and on His will. And so when you begin to read through the Gospel of Mark and just see, He doesn't turn anybody down. He just heals to the left of them, healing to the right of them, healing over there, healing little ones, healing older ones, the lame, healing anybody, opening the eyes of the blind. Now see, I'm going to tell you very clearly what I believe. The church should be filled with this kind of direct, miraculous, immediate healing that comes from Jesus, administered by the Spirit of God. Have you read Luke 5:17? Luke memorized 5:17. You know why? Because it is that incredible verse that tells us. Verse 17, I'm just going to read it to you real quick here. On a certain day, He was teaching. And listen, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. So the ones who opposed Him were right there sitting nearby, who had come from every town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Now listen to this. And the power, dunamis, the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Now some men brought in a man who was paralyzed. They searched for ways to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. When He couldn't find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles. They literally opened up the roof and they let this paralyzed man down through on this bed in the midst of Jesus. They did everything to bring them to Jesus. They did everything. Here's a response. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the man was healed right there. Can you imagine this? Rise up and walk. Look at the context. Go ahead and read it yourself. The power of the Lord was present. I'm going to tell you that in our, I'm going to say, I'm out to pray for anybody to be healed. I'm out to expect healing. I believe in the gifts of healing too, in the biblical, God-given, God, you know, scripture side of things. I utterly reject theologies and subnormal Christianity that doesn't, you know, that even excuses itself from this. Oh, healing was for the old days. That's a lie. Oh, we don't see as much today as we do. Oh, because you don't believe, you don't do anything. How many people have you prayed to be healed? I understand, and we could address the issue. In this entire course, we're going to address the issue of when some people don't get healed. So when I go to pray for anybody to be healed and seeking the power of the Lord to be present to heal, it's power that goes out of Jesus that heals. It's actual, there's actual power, the power of the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God that came into you when you got saved, power to save you, power to heal. That's part of what healing is. He sends them out to anoint with oil. That's okay too. We read that in James where they are to anoint the sick person and to lift them up a prayer of faith, and the Lord will heal them. The oil wasn't medicine. The oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so here's what I did years ago. I've read a lot of books on healing. I've been to healing meetings in places I've seen. I've gone to study it, you know, California, other places where we've seen movements going on. I've seen some pretty amazing things. I've seen some fleshly, goofy, manipulative things where people want to just make money and fake things. And then there can be also the satanic counterfeit. And let me tell you right now, the end of days, counterfeit miracle signs and wonders is talked about in 2 Thessalonians 2, a work of Satan. So by the power of demons, that's going to happen. So what the church needs to do, number one, is to have in the forefront the reality, the real thing, the real healing of Jesus by the power of God, based on the word of God, to the glory of Jesus, obviously. We read this in Acts 4. We're going to see this. How they pray, boldly praying, God would stretch out his hand to heal people and perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of the holy servant Jesus. Do you hear churches praying that? That's why I'm saying again, subnormal, dead Christianity like Sardis, once was alive in a sense, but presence, power, saving, healing, delivering, restoration, charismatic giftings done right, signs and wonders and miracles, the gathering of the believers should be the most amazing place. And I'm going to tell you this, when we're walking in faith and walking as a Spirit-filled believer, walking as a real powerhouse in the Lord, I'm not only am I going to say you're going to see these things, maybe some of you have, but through you, God's going to do them. All the people that got healed in the book of Acts, the healing came through the prayers of the believers that were out there doing the norm. They're out with the norm, like again, Luke's Gospel 10. He sent them out to unleash the gospel of the kingdom, to pray for healing, and they did. And the thing that fascinated them, that he gave them authority, and they commanded demons, and demons obeyed in under the name Jesus and were expelled. And the big amazement was that part of it, because that's never happened before. Healing's been talked about. Rapha is the healer. And so we find this throughout the Old Testament. You find this in Psalm 103. I think it's a great psalm to praise God. And look how there's a connection. See, I believe healing is in the atonement. By stripes we are healed. Not only is healing in the atonement, glorification is. Now, people ask me, does that mean we're going to get healed? Can we keep getting healed till we're 200 years old? Now, come on. No, I believe that we will age out at some point. I believe God's blessing gives a long life. You might live a long life. You might be in your 90s. There are things in this broken body that is passing away. We got this treasure in earthen vessels. So when we come to approach healing, I approach healing with God's going to heal. It's part of the ministry. It's what he does. It glorifies Jesus. It blesses people. He loves doing it. He's not reluctant. As I say in the Gospel of Mark and the rest of the Gospel, he doesn't turn anybody down. Now, there's the sense in which, how long is he going to put up with some people? Where's their faith? You can't get anything. James 1, Hebrews 11, 6, it's impossible to please him. You can't get anything. Through doubt and unbelief. But the one that comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So I'm going to say a restoration of biblical norm healing and deliverance, casting out of demons and delivering, and just supernatural working, all of what you read in the ministry of Jesus in Luke's Gospel 4 is what should be operative in the gathering of the church, and then also in the field of human history as you're out there. See, when I go out, and notice also in the Gospels, everybody got healed before they got saved. I mean, healing led to salvation. Healing is what drew to salvation. Signs and wonders draw people to the gospel and are meant to bring them to salvation. Casting demons out. He never asked anybody, you want me to... If demons are manifesting, he didn't ask them. He cast the demons out, and then they turned to Jesus, Mark 5. So we're to live in the living Savior in and all around us, with us. We're to live in the obedience and in using the word and proclaiming the word, but also then in power and in works, the hand of God. And so again, I give you Mark 16:20. Look at that. That will be your reality when you believe God. And that's why I'm saying, I don't care what kind of denomination. If your denomination doesn't bow to the lordship of Jesus, to the centrality of his mission, to the norm of what he taught and what he expected us to do the works of, you know, his works, and to do them, and what we see in the book of Acts. That's what I'm saying. That book of Acts is the norm. It's not, oh, that was only the day for the apostles. Well, how do you square that with Acts chapter 8 when you have a second generation non-apostle doing the exact same things? It's the exact same Jesus to save, the exact same Jesus to heal, the exact same Jesus that gives you authority to command and expel demons, the exact same Jesus that will bring sign and wonder at times, miraculous things at times. And I'm going to tell you right now, you got to hear me, based on the word of God, based on the ministry that we should be living, I believe God, in the context of advancing the kingdom, saving souls, triumphing over evil, at times will cause an earthquake to open jail cells. At times, like Mary's house praying, will send an angel to go in and miraculously get Peter out of those chains, open iron barred gates, and get him out. Listen, no one's going to convince me to dumb it all down. I want more. Listen, in the day in which we live where God doesn't will anyone to perish, he's not willing that anybody perish. Do we really believe that? Let me ask you, in your church, have you heard people, is your church praying faithfully, praying outwardly, praying boldly, praying with confidence for all the lost souls of the city and all the lost souls of the family members there? I don't care if it's a 100-member church or a 1,000-member church. So when I'm telling you, when the church is dumbed down in faith, there's very little prayer. There's basically nothing that happens in the sanctuary. And people are looking forward to getting out of there, even when it seems like preachers have no Holy Spirit unction. And there, you know why there's no invitations a lot of times? Because they've really lost faith. Their faith is weakened to deadness. See, when we give an invitation, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot. There should be a wide open invitation to come to Jesus and be saved. And come backslider to repent and get right with the Lord. Come and be filled with the Spirit of God. Come and be prayed for healing. All the altar counselors, all the elders should be ready with anointing oil. The church should be absolutely ready for saving, healing, deliverance, restoration, miraculous things, giftings that would be used in God speaking, an interaction with God, a fellowship with God, and God's presence all over the place. If you have that, you know that you never want anything but that. You'll know the difference between alive and dead. Alive, God is all over the place. Jesus is all over the place. Praising him, worshiping him, as Psalm 103 declares, and we see the same principle. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, praise God. Who heals all of your diseases, praise God. Who redeems your life from the pit, hallelujah. Who crowns your head with loving kindness, we don't deserve it, hallelujah. And tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. What a God we have. What a mighty God we have. So that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord does righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. I hope you can get excited about Psalm 103. I hope that will lead into Acts chapter 3 and the lame man that's going to get healed here. If you're listening to this as we're developing the course, there's been some interruptions along the way, things like that, on the field and things. So when it's all done and all that's up there, it's just up there for anybody to get any time. Some of you are getting into this right now, and we're already into, I think, 36 audios or more. and it takes time. So take your time. You know, study, read, receive the word, launch out in faith, pray out in faith, step out in faith. If nobody went, you know, goes out witnessing the gospel, nobody's going to get saved. If nobody prays for healing and believes God to bring healing, nobody's going to get healed. And if demon-oppressed people and whatever, if nobody, you know what the Western dumbed-down church does? They send them a psychiatrist. They can't do anything. And it's an embarrassment. It's an abdication of our job, our work, our what we're supposed to be doing. So I just want you to hear as I bring this in the very beginning of this, and I wanted you to be encouraged. I had put up the free PDF file of a great, I think very biblically simple devotional study on someone who experienced healing directly. You'll see chapters like Jesus bore our sins, God's prescription for the sick, the Lord that healeth thee, Jesus heals the sick, the fervent effectual prayer, the will of God, all of this. And I'm just, you know, so here's what I did years ago. After reading all these books, all these different things and hearing stuff, and I've been to training places on this, and that's a good thing. Train and learn and whatever. There's things, there's bones to throw out. There's fabrication. There's sometimes, if you know, over wrong emphases and so forth. So I think the best thing is, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read and watch how Jesus did things. Watch and look in Luke 10, where he sends out the disciples, the many disciples. And then when the power of the Spirit of God comes, then as they're launched, look at the norm. Power, living Savior, boldly unleashing, gospel, salvations, power of God, healings, deliverances, obviously, and signs and wonders and miracles along the way. Now, we'll talk about the persecutions and things that come, but in the context of persecutions or power encounters, look what happens in Acts 13. God himself blinds the sight of a sorcerer. In front of a political leader who then wants to really hear because he saw a demonstration of the power of the gospel. So I'm going to say again, the biblical norm is word and power inseparably together. Word and power, word at work, word of God in the works of Jesus, the word of God in miracles, the word of God in everything you see in the book of Acts. So deepen the word, but deepen the actual ministries. I pray right now, God stretch out his hand to heal anyone. I pray for the Spirit of God, the power of the Lord, Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord being present to heal. That's how pastors, leaders, churches, it should be the norm. It should be what we're set up for. You're going to hear me towards all the way to the end. And I think, here's what I think, entire churches will be changed overnight almost. That open wide to everything that God gives. Everything that God, you know, brings. Jesus wasn't reluctant in healing, obviously not in delivering. And so gifts of the Spirit of God are being used all over the place. So our gathering, there should be so much activity of God if we're opening wide, if we're standing out in real biblical Word of God faith, and then we see the hand of God. We see the power of God. In the sanctuary, we observe. So in Acts 3, in front of people, God does this miraculously in front of everybody. It's not a show. We're not telling you to get a tent, get people lined up, and, you know, kind of force things and then collect a lot of money. They didn't do that in the book of Acts. So that's what I'm saying. We'll talk about pitfalls later on, too. Don't do some of these dumb things. Just be obedient to Jesus. Win everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Pray for everybody. Expect healing. You're going to see healing. You might need it yourself. And I pray today that as you're listening, the Spirit of God will move in you and the Word of God will convince you. No matter what, don't worry about, well, our church doesn't believe this, our church doesn't believe this. That's their problem. That really is their problem. Do you want to live your life negating much of the grace and much of the great demonstrative power and work and mercy of Jesus? I don't. If someone was to ask me to come and speak somewhere but don't pray for the sick or don't pray against any demons or don't open the altar time to 2 or 3 hours of prayer, I won't go. I'm just not going to go. I'm going to unleash word. I'm going to bring things strongly. I'm going to give invitation. I'm going to bring expectation for, and I want people saved. I want people healed. And here's, I believe that like in my radio program, you're going to see later on in the book of Acts, I've fashioned my radio broadcast on Paul at the lecture hall of Tyrannus, being in one spot and unleashing message, the word and teaching. And then the power of God and extraordinary miracles are done. I believe that. I believe that we need to realize in light of the massive, massive ramping of the dark side and the end and the time we have left, God wants people saved. And that is our mission. If we're not having a church in our lives with powerhouse prayer and answers and souls saved and people healed and people delivered and God's work and God's things and triumph over the dark side, then we're simply dead and we're not where we're supposed to be. And that's important in this training course in the beginning. Sooner we come before the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I don't care about anybody, anything. If you know what you have shown, what you have given, what your word demonstrates, what you've commissioned us to do, what's consistent for 30 years in the book of Acts, that's what you want to live. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works. Book of Acts. Field manual for the end of days. This is Russ, shatterthedarkness.net. Thank you. God bless you. Love you.